pretty good, right?
Pretty good. You know what's great, Mike? You know what's better than good?
Yeah, fantastic.
You and me relaxing in the dark without Uncle Anderson taking over the podcast.
Yeah.
With his inane stories.
Now it's just a two-way takeover.
Now it's just great stories nonstop, you and me.
And we have an audience.
I bring the funny. You bring...
I bring the contemplative depression.
Yeah, you bring the philosophy.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'll bring the callbacks, and there will be no one here to yell at me.
Correct. Or insult you.
Yeah, that'd be nice. No one to make fun of my rainy son's first birthday.
That's not something to make fun of people for.
No, it's definitely not.
Mm-mm.
What if this is the moment where we just keep doing the show with that?
What if the ratings skyrocket?
What do you mean? What if?
What if we're on the front page of iTunes? How much would that hurt Anderson's feelings tomorrow? Patreon quadrupled. We're on the front page. A guy from iTunes called and said, if we get rid of you.
A guy from iTunes called. Who's that guy?
Oh, hi. I'm John from iTunes. We think you guys have got the goods to be on the front page of iTunes now.
So why isn't Anderson here? Why is he slacking?
I don't know why he's not here, because he could be here. I spoke to him a couple times.
He's not dedicated to the show. He's not doing anything, is he?
He bummed me out because... And I feel like I'm being selfish, and I was kind of being a jerk tonight to you, too. Like, when you texted and said, I'll be there at 8:40, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, you did hit me with an ugh, and usually that would be followed by a, haha, just kidding. But
Anderson,
it wasn't.
Anderson sent me a text and said, can you bring the drone tomorrow? And I said, what time exactly? Because I have a busy day tomorrow. And then I wrote back, and I went, I'm not trying to be a dick. I go, "What? I just kind of need a window. Like, I don't want to hang around for 10 hours to... And the drone's broken anyway, but it is. The camera won't face straight down, so I got to fly low.
That seems like a more important detail than what time should I be there.
I know.
Does he know that it's broken?
No. He knows that it potentially could have been broken, but I don't think that's first and front of his mind right now.
No, it's probably not, because he's busy making his
movie. Let me tell you.
So, for the listeners, Anderson is not here because he's making his movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably at home, like, watching the dailies and trimming film, and he's up to his knees in the cutting room floor.
Probably snorting speed.
Yeah.
And
he's wearing those crop pants, sitting in his little foldable folding chair.
You know what?
Do you take that with you? Does he take it home so that he can...
There's a prop master that takes care of that. There's a whole truck full of chairs for all the stars.
I don't think the prop master should be in charge of both the props on the film as well as, like, seating for people.
How come prop master gets a better title than best boy? And best boy does way more work than the prop master.
Why is the best boy even... It sounds like a creepy name that some guy in the 20s in the film industry was like,
my best boy. Yeah, why not
you? You know, put him in the end of the credits with the best boy next to it. And then it just became the thing that everyone.
Yeah.
It's weird.
What a creepy title.
Who do you think the oldest best boy has been?
Oh, God.
Like 60? Like a 65-year-old best boy?
Of course,
I don't know what the best boy does. And I work in television. I assume we have a best boy, or is that just for film?
You probably do. Yeah. When I was in your studio with Dennis Miller, we had a prop guy. Because it was part of the package, you had to take him, union deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think that guy's making? 40, 50 bucks an hour?
Probably.
Yeah. And his entire job was to put a bottle of water on a table for Dennis because there was no other props.
Yeah.
And so he had to make sure there was a bottle of Fiji water.
Oh, that's where it started.
That's absolutely where it started.
Did you would hope that Dennis wouldn't drink from his, and then you would take it at the end of the night?
No, I would take cases home with me all the time anyway. Didn't matter. I don't know if you're going to experience this, because your show doesn't really rap, but when we, like, I worked on that show for 5 seasons, I think, and when we would rap, we were gone for 5 or 6 months, so everything had to go.
Yeah.
And our craft
everything
services,
must go.
You know, there was hundreds of things in there, like cases and cases and cases of
Coke.
Well,
you
got to
take the water, because water will go bad.
Yes. Yeah, and the canned beans. The spam. We had spam stacked ceiling high. You only buy shit that doesn't go bad.
You suddenly, the camera pans out, you realize you're in a bunker with Dennis Miller.
Yesterday, I was eyeballing. First of all, I ate nothing but shit all day, as one does on a set.
Yes.
Like, total garbage.
Yeah.
And I was eyeballing the croissants.
Okay, who does the food? Craft service, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to have a craft service? Do you think that's part of, like...
Yeah, I do think it's part of it. Because what else?
Because you got to feed crew.
You certainly cannot expect people to...
Well, I think union, you have to feed the crew anyway.
Yeah, that's like getting an apartment without a sink. It's just expected. You could wash your hands in the toilet. You know, the landlord could go, there's your water source. Drink up. Drink up, me hearties, yo-ho.
I don't think so. Anyways, okay, you're eating shit, which, yes.
Ate a bunch of shit.
Donuts.
Eyeballing croissants all day, and I finally opened them, knowing fully well once they're open, they're going to go bad fast. Because once air hits those babies, they're fucked.
They get that stale, stale bite.
Yeah.
Are they like store-bought croissants?
No, we had a French bakery. We had a French guy fly out from Gay Paris, and he was whipping him up in the kitchen.
That grouper's money has to go to something.
Let me tell you the first thing that occurred to me when I got there. So it's someone's house, and people in L.A. rent their houses as locations.
For pornos.
For pornos, mostly.
They probably think this is a porno. They're like, yeah, you got two guys with their dicks touching in a finger trap. Great.
Yeah. But
that's not a spoiler, is it?
I didn't see the harness today, but Anderson was telling me about it, and he's very excited. Very, very excited about the dick harness.
Was he turgid?
What does that mean?
Was he tumescent?
I don't know what that means.
That means he was aroused. Mm. Like Anderson has a boner.
He does know what that means.
Does he have a film boner for his the apparatus?
What's weird is the guys, like, I don't know why they can't just fake it, but he really wants them to get boners.
We should be careful. Are we giving away spoilers?
No.
I literally don't know.
We've overly talked this on the show. I gave away a spoiler and I deleted it because I uploaded a 40-minute video of me driving to the location yesterday discussing how I'm late. And I gave the address like 5 times. Like, hypothetically, if the address was 1351, like, Chalcedony Street or something... I was walking around the neighborhood going, there's 1341 Chalcedony, there's 1322 Chalcedony, and I could not fucking find the place because it's buried. It's a hidden little gem of a house that's kind of a mess. And I also don't like the fact that people who rent their houses from movie sets leave all their personal belongings up, so you get a glimpse into their creepy little life. And I'm not saying this guy is a creep at all. But I'm so terrified to look at his stuff on the walls because I'm afraid I'm going to stumble onto something.
When Lauren and I stayed in that Airbnb in Palm Springs a few months back, when Zach was like, was he like 4 months or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
It was the weirdest Airbnb I've stayed in because it was like being in someone's house. Like, it was clear that they lived there, and like to the degree where
they left a fish in the fridge.
Yes, there was the disgusting rotting fish. I can't believe you remember that.
Of course I do.
But yeah, like in the first minute that we
turned me off to Palm Springs as an entire community.
Like in the first 2 minutes we were there, we found his gay porno DVDs.
Yeah.
Which was very upsetting.
Yep.
Mostly because of your gay porno, fine, whatever. Enjoy what you want to enjoy. But it was like high school jock boys or something like that.
Of course it is. Of course, it's not 49-year-old men with a paunch.
Yeah,
no one goes. You know, this goes back to the once I brought up.
We don't need to be on this topic. We don't need.
Yeah,
to be,
you're right. Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Oh, let me just skate over it real fast.
Okay,
I brought up to Dr. Drew about men being attracted to younger girls, and he and Catherine would both win off on that. Sick. And I've never been attracted to an 18-year-old girl, and that's disgusting, and that's inappropriate. And then I left there feeling like shit. And then it occurred to me, there's no 40-year-olds in Playboy. They're all like 18 from Ontario, 20 from New York City. You know what I mean? They're all the same age, which is like the sexual peak for every guy on the planet being attracted. You know, I'm not disparaging women who grow past that point, but there is things change.
Sure.
You know?
I know.
Like, right now, we're not being interrupted. Any moment, we could be interrupted.
Mm.
Things change.
It's a strange
nervous anticipation.
That was a strange segue. Anyways, so you went to the set yesterday. Yesterday was principal. Was that principal day of shooting? What's it called? First day of?
I don't know. Day one. But it is weird that you bring that up because I was thinking about all the terminology used on sets. And I think it's pretty douchey.
I feel like there's a lot of people using phrases pretending that they know what it is.
But every movie set, I don't know about TV shows, but no, it is on TV shows too. Like every movie set I've been on, when an actor was done, they'd go, "We're wrapping Julie," and everyone would clap, and I'm like, "You mean she's off? You're wrapping her?"
Well, I think wrapping means you're done. You're done.
I know,
you're
but done with the project. They can't just say we're done. Like, you don't go like, we're wrapping Steve at In-N-Out Burger. It's 10 o'clock. He's off. Yeah,
sure. But I think maybe some of it is the fact that, like, you've worked this long to, like, get into the business. And now you're, like, you're going to do the business terms, you know?
Yeah. And you've been on film sets, right? Mm-hmm. Like, movie film sets?
Yes.
It's always the same. These ones are way, these little small things are much more intimate than the bigger ones. But there's always a weird distance. This one's not that, I shouldn't say, but like if you're on a really big budget movie, it's such a weird, bizarre...
You mean one that actually has French pastry makers yes. at it?
But there's such a chasm between the crew, which is all business, and then the cast, and they kind of are separate.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's kind of a weird thing.
Well, there's like the trailer village.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're
yeah.
getting like carted to and from set.
But I think for me, I'm super fortunate because I've only been around good people. I mean, the bad things I've worked on, well, I'll never do that again because I hate that shit. And the good things.
Turn your cell phone off.
I know. That was my reminder to podcasting. Not forget my. I left all my cameras in the office, and I want to make sure I don't forget them.
Well, but you're gonna forget, or did you reset the alarm?
I've been really lucky to be on good sets with people with super great directors and stuff that are cool to everybody, and everyone kind of gets along. But the crew, the best boy and the grips kind of stick. Best boy's electrician, I think. I don't know. I don't remember.
I thought the best boy was... You said the best boy was Fiji water.
No, that's the prop master.
Oh. Okay.
Prop master. That's a pretentious name.
Yeah, shouldn't the director be the film master?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
It's...
Who do we write about this?
I don't know. We could ask Mickey probably because he knows it because he's on the biggest films in the world.
It's true. What is Mickey's... when? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Motherfucker. Hold on. I got to go. This is SIG alert. Amber alert. This girl's name is actually Amber. That's weird. 2016 white Honda Accord. Cathedral City. Amber alert. How come yours didn't go off?
What do you
off?
Mean her name's actually Amber?
No, I was kidding.
Oh, stupid. Mine didn't go off because I have the setting where it says, do you not care about hurt children?
You know what? I got guilted into leaving mine on. What a piece of garbage you are.
Yeah.
Because I like to keep my eyes peeled for the perps. The perps of the world. No, I think...
Try to make sure Subaru Outback
didn't
pop up on there?
I think the movie's coming along and Anderson and Mickey haven't started butting heads that much yet. A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much, but...
Mickey's operating the camera,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
So does that mean he's director of photography? Is that
yes,
how that works?
Correct.
So he's DP.
Yeah. Don't you guys have a DP on your
I'll
show?
You
oh,
D-
no, you don't.
Tell
you
about
don't.
DP, brother.
Yeah, that's right. In my day, it used to mean something totally different.
Double pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot in 3D.
Yep.
I don't know.
No, you don't. No, you don't, because you have multiple cameras, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And TV is also weird because the director is in a little room
yes.
separate from everybody. I don't like that one
going.
Bit.
Camera two.
That's right.
Camera
That's
three, right. ready? Camera three, go.
You know what the most insane thing I've seen is somebody direct this. We had a Super Bowl director direct our show for a while.
Uh-huh.
Chet 40. Rest in peace.
His name was Chet 40?
Chet 40. He directed many, many Super Bowls. And he... I watched videos of him directing, and they've got... upwards of 50 cameras. So he's got essentially 60 monitors. Like he's got the giant one, which is what everyone's seeing, and he's got every camera, and then he's got the twos and the potential thing. You know, like there's two or three screens or four screens for
right.
shots you can go to that right. that they recommend that are, you know, you're just constantly looking for something.
It must be exhausting.
It's
your
I don't,
brain must be on fire.
I don't know how one person can even do it because what if a cameraman has something interesting in the audience or in the crowd going down and you don't see it because you're too busy watching the coach take a sip of Gatorade? I don't know how it works.
I feel like it must be hard for sports too. Like if you're a fan of one of the teams, like you just got to disengage because otherwise you'll find yourself just staring at the game, not realizing, like, oh shit, we've just been on camera two for 4 minutes.
Because I like that guy.
It's not been interesting.
I think the easiest sport to direct will be tennis. You can just keep that wide shot for as long as you want.
True.
And then when somebody hits the net, you just go to the camera on the guy who didn't. Make the shot?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be easy. I think we could walk in tomorrow and just
direct
be...
tennis.
And just be... it would be funny to see, like, especially a sport that you think is simple and basic.
Yeah.
To, like, give an idiot like us the reins.
Oh, yeah.
And then to see how bad it would be.
You know what I appreciate about tennis?
What do you appreciate about tennis, Mike?
Is the TV networks and the directors didn't make that weird decision that football and baseball made, which was, we got to try something new, like a camera in the grass. That bullshit shot.
They have some... I think there's been some developments.
Good ones, like that the cable camera that swings over the field. That's kind of an amazing perspective. But tennis just keeps it plain and simple. You know, camera in the middle.
Two white guys hitting a little green ball back and forth.
That's right. Two white guys in white shorts.
Nice, quiet white people in the crowd clapping politely.
You might be too young to remember this, but Andre Agassi was the first one to break that unwritten rule, which actually was written. So sorry I said that. He had to wear all white, and he started wearing different colors.
Really?
He was the first major star to come out with, like, baggy shorts on.
I know that's like Wimbledon that they all wear white, but it was everything?
I thought
so.
Or
are you mixing it all?
I have no idea what I'm talking about, so it could be a lie. It could be something based in the truth. Could be partial lie. I don't know, man. But I think let's talk to Zach for a moment.
Okay. Let's talk to Zach for a moment.
You can stay right there. Oh, shit.
All right. There you go.
We rolling?
Grab that. We're rolling.
We got all numbers?
Good. We're rolling.
Okay, Zach.
Hello.
Welcome to the After Disaster. I learned today that Zach listens to this show, which I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, you were really underselling the show. He invited...
Oh, no! He's going to bust me!
Uh-oh. Do it.
We do a podcast with this other guy.
Like,
and
it's so boring. It's awful. You just be bored.
Did I say boring?
Yes.
God damn you.
Oh, you were telling him about this show, not knowing that he listens to this show.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't want to like crush his dreams, but I was like,
Zach drove out here from Missouri and he's helping on Anderson's movie. And I felt like he needed to do something while he's in Los Angeles. So I invited him down here.
Even though he's a listener of the show, which, thank you, it still seems like, of all the things you could do in L.A., it seems like...
The pinnacle. Magic Castle, the After Disaster.
I'm saying, like, if he didn't listen to the show...
Yeah.
This is not, like... This is not a thing to be like, oh, man, I feel bad that you're out here with nothing to do. You should come to this.
Yeah. Like, and if you're really bored, you can come over my place and sit in the other room while I sleep.
Well, and he showed up, apparently, and they put him on the list for the 10 o'clock show down here.
Which
and
you're welcome to go to, by the way.
You and I both said, yeah,
should
you should
be good.
Definitely do that instead of
It
instead
might
of this.
Make this experience seem less
worth it,
less thrilling.
I don't mind it. This is like, I don't peek behind the curtain. I don't get to see, you know?
Yeah,
what if we did it behind a curtain? What if we had a curtain and we all sat behind
it? Isn't there a curtain over there?
Yeah, but we can't get behind that because we're human beings.
Yeah, I kind of like the Scarface chair I'm in right now anyway.
So... Is this the first movie set you've been on?
Yep.
And?
Pretty much. I mean, you were talking about earlier how people just give these arbitrary names to other things, and I was definitely running into that. And I, like, when I figured out that I was going to be on this set...
Okay, that's enough of you. Turn them off.
When I figured out I was going to be on this set, I, like, ran to Google and started, like, I need to know all the terms so I don't look like an asshole who's just,
woman.
Like, showed up from the Midwest...
So, and best boy, do you know what best boy is?
I sincerely do not.
Ah, that's going to be the first one that would come up on Google. Yeah.
But Anderson, like, walked in when I was dressing a set, and he's like, ah, stinger, and, like, looked on the ground. I was like, all right, extension cord, stinger.
Yeah, that's
got
right.
This.
That's right.
So you're already ahead of me.
Yeah.
What? Anderson would never call it a stinger in his day-to-day. He
never,
would be like,
ever.
No. Jillian, can you give me a stinger?
Give me a stinger.
And if he heard someone do that, he'd be like, that's pretentious.
Give me a cup of mud. I heard that one time for coffee.
Cup of mud?
What?
Yeah.
Mm. Sounds like bad coffee.
You know what? I'm sorry. I heard that in a like a 40s detective TV show.
I feel bad that I don't have headphones.
You idiot.
Do you think you need them?
I don't know. Like, I'm an outsider in the city and everything, and now I'm an
outsider
on the show.
Outsider in the
city. I don't got the headphones.
Yeah, that's true. I'll get you that.
Nah, it's all right.
No.
I'm good.
No.
I don't want them anymore.
No, you're getting headphones.
Like
Mike, ask him a question.
Are we going to start the show again now?
No.
We've already started over 17 times.
Yeah, there's a lot more editing on this than I...
There's no editing on this show. That's one of the first times in 6 years of doing this show that we've started over. I mean, I can't remember. Have we started over before that you can think of?
Less than 10 times, for sure, in 370 episodes.
Jesus.
Yeah, we don't start over, and we don't edit. except for when one of us says something that would get us in big trouble.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah, like one time we all got our Nazi party confirmation letters the same day. No, I, well, like, for example, I was making a video for the podcast folk, and hope he's not plugged into the bad channel that sounds horrific.
Sounds good.
But I was making the video today, and I gave the address of the shooting location.
You told the story already.
I know, but that's an example. Like, stuff like that. Sometimes we name people that...
So, I did this thing today at work. It was embarrassing. But the only thing that I can think similar to it would be, like, have you ever, like, driven somewhere and then given an address that you're not supposed to give?
What's the example?
Like, if you're going to your friend's movie set and you're recording a podcast,
mm-hmm.
but then you said the address of it.
No. Not that I remember.
Okay, great.
But my Alzheimer doctor says that's okay.
So, Zach, you drove out from Missouri. How long was the drive? When did you get here?
It was like all in all, 24 hours, like split between 2 days. When did I get here?
That's really one day.
No, 24 hours of driving split across two days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's actually, honestly, that's not that bad.
That's 12 a lot.
12 hours a day? Of driving?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot, but it's not, like, that bad.
It's the longest road trip, like, I've ever driven.
Yeah.
But, like, that means you could leave at 8 a.m. and get to your next destination at 8 p.m., hang mm-hmm. out, and then wake up again at 8 and get the next place.
You know what? You're right.
That's not that bad.
Because imagine people who take Greyhounds. You always hear the horror stories of Greyhounds.
Those dogs are so small.
I was on a bus 14 hours.
It takes a while. You know, they're so skinny.
And they constantly... Yeah, you know what? And you got to feed them.
They
and their
keep
little
chasing,
spindly legs.
They keep chasing.
Here comes the rabbit.
those rabbits.
Yep.
You just keep going in circles. You never get anywhere.
Oh, God. Should we start over now after that horrible premise?
The gamblers keep yelling at you saying, get off the course, asshole.
I will say Greyhounds are one of the coolest looking dogs. Every time I see somebody with one, I comment on it. Mm. And they tell me how sickly they are and how difficult they are to keep alive.
Oh, no.
What do you say to them when you see their groundhog?
I say, that's a beautiful Greyhound there, fella.
Mm.
And is there a difference between a Greyhound and a Whippet?
Whippet is a whipped cream thing where you suck the gas out to get a quick buzz. It's also a Devo song.
I think they're just... I think Whippets and Italian Greyhounds, I think they're... And normal Greyhounds, I think they're...
I'm an Italian Greyhound.
Hey, you're my little Costa bus. You better easy get across to the United States. It's offensive.
I'm sexually harassing the other dogs. I think Greyhounds are pretty bitchin-looking dogs. You know what I don't see around anymore? Doberman Pinschers.
You don't go enough junkyards. I see them all the time.
God damn it, I got to hit more junkyards.
I'm always hanging out at junkyards. You know, I live that lifestyle where I just like end up at like, you know, house parties and
junkyards.
Like abandoned warehouses.
I
got to
be totally honest with you. Even though I may not eat that fresh, brand new salad, your feet being right over it is making me uncomfortable.
I didn't know it was over there. I'm sorry.
You're like bashing your shoes together right over my salad.
Sorry.
I didn't ask for feet croutons.
Apologies.
That's all right. You didn't know.
You should have washed his feet like the Pope.
Speaking of the Pope, do you see that little girl stole his hat?
No, but I heard about it.
Oh, my God.
Does she get to keep it?
That's the best.
I think so.
Who makes the Pope's hat? Who's Joe?
Probably
some guy
Stetson.
That tucks it like this. Stetson. I don't
we
think
got
Stetson.
Cowboy hats, top hats. Bowler hats, Pope hat.
Does he have multiple Pope hats?
Of course. Of course. You get fucking spaghetti sauce on one. What are you going to do?
Hey, I got a bolognese.
Hey, I got a ravioli.
Stupid me. I did it again. Slurping my noodles.
Being the Pope is one of the worst celebrity goals to achieve because...
I don't think that being a Pope is a celebrity goal.
No, I beg to differ.
You have to ride around in like a glass box.
Yeah, but you're kind of like, I'm going to be the most well-known Catholic on the planet, and I'm going to get so much pussy.
And you can't, barbecues are out of the question now. Like, you're just wearing white all the time.
Yeah, good question.
You can't have coffee. You can't have a
barbecue. Chocolate ice cream.
You can't have a...
Can't have spaghetti.
No spaghetti, no Italian food. Yeah.
You know what would be creepy is to see the Pope like in shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
I don't know if that'd be creepy, but he still has the hat on.
Stay off.
I like weekend Pope. That's not a bad idea.
We do have that like cool Pope now. He probably wears the Hawaiian shirt.
I didn't know we had a cool Pope.
Yeah,
now.
No,
he's like known as the cool Pope.
He's like the chillest Pope. He's like, go to the gay sex if you want. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. He comes out one day with sideburns. Yeah.
He just let a little girl like take his hat.
He goes, hey.
Did he let her?
I thought
she stole it.
Didn't we just say that?
She stole it.
I think there's no way that like he was not capable of giving that hat back, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen.
He's
the
Pope. He's got like legions of his people like all around the world.
That would be terrible if he declared war on that child for taking his hat.
Welcome to Sunday
also,
Mass.
I don't think he's Italian.
Say, kill her. Kill her.
I think he's like Argentinian or something.
Yeah, I believe so too. Thank God they got rid of the Nazi Pope.
Yeah, that guy was scary looking.
Fuck yeah. He's the only Pope in my life that's quit.
Yeah.
It's weird when you quit. Like, there's some jobs you just don't quit.
Maybe he was pissed about the lack of hat options.
Did you watch the Warren Buffett documentary on HBO?
Sure didn't.
Nope.
It's pretty interesting.
Does he have hats?
He has quite a hat collection. Weirdly enough, he also collects, like, those limited edition, like, Nikes. Now, he doesn't spend any money at all, and he's the richest man in the world, or the second richest man in the world, depending on what time of day it is.
Isn't Bill Gates the richest man in the world?
Nope.
Oh.
It's all those Margaritavilles.
Okay.
Wrong.
He might be.
Nah, it's Warren Buffett.
Wrong,
right?
Buffett.
But there was one point where Warren Buffett was estimated to be worth $60 billion, and he might be third behind Slim, the guy from Mexico.
Oh, the meat sticks.
Slim Jim?
Yeah.
I think he has Slim Jim. But,
did you eat any Slim Jims on your drive here?
Yeah.
No, man, Slim Jims are gross.
What kind of road trip is that?
Yeah, what was the...
It's...
You can eat
the guy
them.
I
it's
drove
the only
with.
Meat snack you can eat through your butt. If you wanted to.
Well, we're going to get a whole case on the way back.
Good.
The guy I drove with got a bunch of Takis,
yeah,
which are also disgusting.
Well, then what did you eat on this trip?
What did I... Ham salad.
Wow.
I know, right?
That's weird.
I went on a road trip like my senior year with my grandparents, and they had ham salad. And for whatever reason, I guess probably because it was better than the other option.
Is that like tuna salad?
Yeah, but with ham instead.
Okay. I really don't like the name.
I don't either.
Yeah,
I don't like the name.
It sounds like a sex thing.
Totally.
You want a Cleveland steam or a Cincinnati hot plate or the ham salad?
It totally sounds like something like that.
Mm-hmm. The thing about Slim Jims, well, okay, let me just state for the record, and if any... Anybody,
under oath.
Anybody
under
listening
oath.
To this podcast ever wants to take a road trip with me, I am hereby declaring a ban on... Okay, I went on a road trip with someone who works in this club one time. And that fucking guy ate goddamn sunflower seeds. And it was repulsive. The whole fucking trip. He's just shoving sunflower seeds in his mouth and then spitting the seeds into another bag. And it fucking got under my skin like it's no one's business.
That's why you stopped playing baseball, right?
And you don't realize how strong the smell of sunflower seeds is. It just permeated the entire inside of the car.
See, I like
God
sunflower
damn, I'm
seeds.
Angry.
So
show's
I,
over. I'm pissed.
I can't agree with you on this.
Well, because you're a baseball guy.
That's true. I'm a baseball guy.
It's repulsive. It's repulsive eating something in the car that has so much that 50% of it's trash and it's wet. Trash. Ugh. God.
Well, what if he spit it out the window?
It's like eating a fucking artichoke in the car.
Mm. Okay, that's fair. Well, except, I mean, that's way messier.
You know what the worst thing I ever ate was?
What's the worst thing you ever ate, Mike?
Not the worst thing, but the most ridiculous predicament I put myself in. When I was younger, I used to bike a lot. I loved my bike, and I had one of those touring bikes that was kind of, looks like a 10-speed, but it's made for like long distances, and I spent a lot of money on it. And it was just made in England, and it was aluminum, and I probably put 100,000 miles on that thing over like 7 or 8 years. I rode
100,000 miles?
I just made that number up. I rode for probably an hour a day, 5-6 days a week, sometimes 3 or 4 hours a day, and I would go on these super crazy long jaunts with that bike.
To scope out the honeys? Or
and it, no, just going for exercise. And it had a rack
on
the front.
How old are you?
16, 15.
You were going for the honeys.
And I had a rack on the front that would hold like the pump and all that shit. And it was like a bag that hung between the handlebars. And one time I stopped at Long John Silver's and I got a shrimp dinner.
Yeah.
And I placed it in the bag and I tried to eat the... I opened the cocktail sauce and and I tried to eat a shrimp dinner while riding around on my hunched over touring.
What the hell?
I know. It was idiotic. It was impossible. It was inconvenient. It looked fucking moronic.
What did you wear when you rode your touring bike? Did you have like the... the onesie?
No, I wore regular clothes, regular shorts and
so
a t-shirt.
So you look like you'd stolen someone's
I'm never wearing those skin tight pants, and I'm never riding a bike again unless it's an electric bike.
I feel like that's a recent development, like in the last 15 years, that everyone I see riding those road bikes now looks like they're
costume.
In the fucking Tour de France.
Yeah.
Is that a recent thing, or were they doing that in the 20s?
I don't ever remember that happening. I imagine at one point some bicycle shops started selling those uniforms and people started buying them, because you see people wear the soccer jerseys, especially when they're from like Argentina.
Right.
They always wear the soccer jersey with the at. That's my biggest problem is I see fucking guys that are 30 pounds overweight in my neighborhood riding by on their $10,000 bikes wearing the full brown UPS skin tight biker costume like they're in the goddamn Olympics. Who the fuck are you fooling?
I know.
Jesus Christ.
But so is it weirder? Is that different than the fact that I wear a baseball uniform on Sundays when I play? Like,
I think it's different.
Yeah.
I think it's way different.
I feel like it is too, because it's not like it's not like an event. It'd be like if you went to go shoot hoops at the park and you wore
the full basketball
uniform.
Yes. You would be mocked.
You'd look so stupid.
You would be mocked. If I go down to the park to have a little game of touch football with a bunch of pals, if I were that
which
kind
is
of
something
guy,
you do right
and
now.
I wore a full head to toe professional,
yeah,
you know, NFL uniform, I would look like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it, because I like that the people have their hobbies and that there's something to do.
Well, I want to know what the function is.
Well, I think it's like chafing and shit.
Yeah.
And like aerodynamics. My brother does it. I guess we could just ask him.
Yeah, we could.
Well, for all we
can't
know,
believe
for all we know, Zach over here is a big time biker in Missouri.
Are you?
My bike's front wheel fell off, so not anymore.
Okay.
Did you have the onesie?
No, that's probably why it did fall off.
Okay. All right.
Onesie is like kind of like a glue for a bike, you know?
Was it one of those?
It's not a onesie, by the way. It's the shirt and bottom are separate.
I know. Well, some
might as well be a onesie.
You're right. Do they tuck it in though?
I don't know. I'll take note.
I think sometimes they're onesies. Like wrestling singlets, almost.
I see those dudes at the coffee bean on Ventura every time I'm there.
And
in
their little wieners are like always poking out. That's not good, bro.
No,
those fucking wieners.
No,
man.
Don't stand in line for your latte while your weird little soft UPS wiener is.
And if you're that serious about riding your touring bike with the whole fucking costume on, do you think anyone in the Tour de France is chugging coffee before the race?
Maybe.
They're athletes, but then again. Reading stories about the baseball players from the 70s.
Yeah, the best.
Yeah.
Smoking cigarettes, drinking
beers.
Doing
coke.
Yeah.
Having sex.
Yeah, with each other in the bullpen.
Baseball players now are not allowed to have sex any longer.
No. Zero.
Just messes up their
game. Just quickies. That's a fallacy that boxers started in the 40s, which is if you have sex, it drains your energy and you can't fight.
Well, that's why I don't box, baby.
That's right. I don't have time to box.
Too busy banging.
I think the reason they don't, you shouldn't have sex before a fight is because you feel content and you don't feel like fighting after that. You're like, why am I fighting? I just got laid.
I think the only reason to not do it is if you are going to be that person that when you lose the next day, you're like, oh, it's because I did sex, or it's going to be in the back of your mind.
Mm.
If you don't care about it, just fucking go do it or don't do it. But if you... The only reason to not do it would be if you start to convince yourself, like, oh, God, if I lose, it's going to be because of that, you know?
Oh, good point. Suspicion. Which sport has the most suspicions?
You
baseball?
You mean superstitions?
Superstitions, yeah.
I mean, all sports, I think, have suspicions.
But baseball probably has the most, right?
And superstitions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because there's so much time to kill and because a lot of guys have super...
But like, I mean, like, when you go to the plate, some people tap the bat
three times
and never change it. Or I'm going to wear the same filthy, dirty, greasy hat because I won in this hat 300 times.
When, like, Clayton Kershaw, the days that he pitches, he has timed out to the minute in terms of, like, what when he wakes up, when he gets to the field, what he eats before, where he does his little jog, like, what time. Like, they just have that shit. You know, they become creatures of habit. And I think, like, in baseball, there's guys that are, you know, you're just a closer, so you – have the whole game to like psych yourself up, and then you do like your one little you guys have such specialized roles that they just get in. You got to have like a routine to like kill all the time.
That's part of the reason I can't get into sports, because I don't think I can take the tension. Because the games I have watched, being at football, baseball, hockey, anything, and I've watched all the way through, like if I watch a World Series all the way through and I really am invested in one team, if it comes down to one of those crazy like Angels World Series yeah. where they're losing and then the guy gets up there and there's two men on base and if he gets a home run, they're going to win. Yeah, but if he gets a single...
Are you referring to the 2003 Angels versus Giants World Series?
I think so.
I think so too.
I watched it from the Improv in Irvine through the window of the Yard House, and when they won, I was just like having a heart attack. And I was like, the pressure I felt on whoever the batter was unreal.
You realize you're describing all the reasons why people watch sports.
Yeah,
a negative thing.
Yeah.
I don't like it because I get really invested and it's very entertaining.
I don't want to have sex because it just leaves me with a really close feeling and this spectacular firework type ending.
I feel so satisfied.
Yeah, I feel unbelievably satisfied. Yeah. There's a rush that comes over my entire body that feels so good. It's inexplainable.
I just can't have
and
that.
And I just don't want to deal with that shit.
I can't
shit.
Have that in my life.
You know, I leave a massage, I'm all relaxed, and my body feels good, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't need that kind of human fucking contact.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your deal, Mike? What's that all about?
Fear. I live in a lot of fear. It's the reason I can't get a pet, because right now the amount of fear I have in regards to when Dahlia eventually dies.
Mm-hmm.
Dahlia?
A.K.A. Sheetwriter. Or if Louis the cat, something were to happen to him, I would be devastated.
So you're saying you have too much real life anxiety to add sports
that's
and
exactly
other entertainment
correct.
Anxiety to
correct
it.
Correct, Amundo. That's why I don't watch scary movies. I don't want to need that shit. I got enough scary stuff in real life. Got enough
that's
monsters under my bed right now.
I can't really argue with that.
Okay, that's the show.
That's it. Well,
we should have brought Zach on and then just went, well, thanks for coming on, and just killed it.
All right.
What can we do? I thought, just across my mind like 10 minutes ago, we should have done an entire, even though I find this worse than he does, we should have done an entire show on farts.
Oh, God, he would have been so mad.
He wouldn't hear it for like 2 months either. And then he would be so bent out of shape.
He'll listen to this sooner because it was just us. Are we supposed to call him?
Oh, my God, yeah. Hey, what about the girl who's the star of the movie who just keeps on burping like these crazy, like, frat? What? Like, out of nowhere, you're just sitting there and it's like, brah!
I think she was influenced by, like, the way the house looks. It's like the frattiest house of all time.
Mm.
Just walk in and there's...
you know what?
There's nothing.
Damn good observation, because it is like a frat house.
Yeah, I walked in and there's just a
like
bar.
That,
that's what she's been doing.
And the guy's got a...
he's got like a full bar and then like a Fast and the Furious
a giant
poster.
Depeche Mode tattoo.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, there's
Fast
other
the
posters. There's other posters too, but like that and like Scarface.
Oh, God.
I'm like, okay, this is
so cliche. It's terrible.
You're right. The Scarface one summed it up.
I had to clear out some of his cupboards and I like... He must have been like a caterer or something, but I picked up a giant pan and there was water in it. I could feel the water sloshing around.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those the warming tray or something.
Yeah. I was like, I don't like this house.
Wow, is the director big timing us? Wow. Wow, big timed.
Hey, this is the after disaster calling. You know.
You remember us?
Yeah, the podcast you're on.
Yeah, remember us before you became a big time Hollywood director?
Yeah.
You've been replaced.
It's true.
Yeah.
Zach's the new third seat.
Mm-hmm.
I know
a very
you think
quiet third seat for now.
That was an insult, third seat.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Wish I would have turned the phone off.
Did you hold the phone into the mic like mm-hmm. you would?
That's how we do it.
Okay, yeah.
We're not smart here. Don't think about it. Don't think too much about it. So you drove back with a friend and you just like left him, or what is he doing?
He's somewhere. Actually, like I don't know specifically what he's doing. He's doing like graphic design or something, either in Irvine or Orange County.
Wait, you guys both got gigs for the week or whatever?
I did, and I was like, hey, I'm going to California, and then he scrambled some bullshit together for a reason to come with me.
Is that what he does back home?
Yeah, well, we also both work at a sandwich place.
Nice.
What's the sandwich place?
Yeah, give a shout out.
All right, fuck it. Shout out to Blackadder.
Ooh,
Cafe Blackadder.
Blackadder?
Blackadder.
That's okay. A good name.
Yeah, like African.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Like the, Jesus. Is that
snake.
Based on the Rowan Atkinson BBC series, The Blackadder?
I have no idea.
Probably not. Probably.
I do know why it is, but it's not worth even like...
Gotcha.
Not a funny story.
Where is The Blackadder located?
It is in Warrensburg, Missouri.
Is it a chain?
No.
Sole proprietorship.
Yes.
How long has it been there?
Like 7 years, 6 or 7 years.
Would they have good sandwiches?
They do.
What's
they're the best
signature
place?
Signature sandwich. If I walk in, what should I order?
Chicken salami panini.
Ooh.
Mm.
It's pretty good.
Is that chicken and salami, or do you guys make salami out of chicken?
Chicken and salami.
Chicken and salami. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the worst sandwich there?
Tempeh Reuben, man. Tempeh is not
God
good.
God damn, Reuben sandwiches are so good.
They
I'm
are
bummed
good
out to hear that.
Tempeh is like tofu, right?
Like tempeh is like tofu. Like soy, I think.
Yeah. I think soy is tofu. I think tofu is soy, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's not like quite, it's not like spongy. It's not like the cosmetic wedges thing. Like
right.
Tofu
Yeah.
You're the sandwich shop that doesn't even try. It's just big white chunks.
Yeah.
In white
it's
bread.
A Reuben.
White
it's
bread.
A tofu
and,
Reuben.
Yeah, there you go. Enjoy.
Hey,
there you go,
how about a tofu pastrami? There you go. Same sandwich. Tofu turkey. Yeah, there it is. How
just long? Say it's gluten-free. People eat it.
How long have you been slinging sandwiches?
I don't know. A couple months.
A couple months.
Yep.
Do you get home at the end of the day and your hands are raw from sandwich slinging?
All the sandwiches, all the salads, you know.
What it,
it's an exciting job.
Hey, it's pays the bills, right?
Yeah.
Hardly.
Do you get to eat sandwiches for free?
Nope. I get to eat sandwiches at 30%.
30%
off.
You don't even get 50%?
That's not
nope.
enough.
Not any
That's
longer.
Not enough.
Oh, not any longer.
Nope.
You're having too many of those
Took advantage
chicken
of
salamis?
It?
Yeah, I guess so. No, I mean, not
Do you guys have
many.
Like those novelty sandwiches that are like 6 feet long and stuff like that?
I wish we did.
Those aren't novelty. They're just for like large catering events. What do you mean novelty? It's not like when they make the world's biggest cookie.
Like the giant, yeah, it's like the giant cake or something.
Sandwich right now.
Has there ever been a time in the history of people trying to do a gimmicky food related, like world record that it's looked appealing?
Yes.
Go on.
I'm just gonna say yes.
All
I'm
right.
gonna assume
every time I see one. Oh, it's the world's biggest bowl of pudding, and it's like a pool. Technically, it's, you know, it's got the water in there, and they just put the pudding in and stir it up, and it turns into pudding. Like, it's Guinness Book World Records, biggest thing of pudding. No one's going to fucking eat it.
It's funny what humans were so dumb, like, that we're just like, I want to see the biggest blank.
Yeah, exactly.
But then we ascribe certain value to that. So it's like, if you're like, this is the biggest mountain in the world, you're like, holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You're like, this is the biggest, tallest skyscraper in the world. You're like, cool. This is the biggest Subway sandwich in the world. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like, it's cool, but like.
Yeah.
Oh, these are giant monster trucks. Fuck
and
these are awesome.
I think my real problem with the biggest sandwich thing, and that's come up quite a few times in my lifetime where somebody tried to break a sandwich record. It's not the biggest. It's the longest.
Well, they probably clarify.
Like,
that.
If you're going to go, I made the biggest sandwich. I want to bring me in a room this size and the sandwich is fucking, and you know, giant.
I had a birthday this week.
Oh man, happy birthday.
And thank you. For my birthday dinner, Lauren made her world famous, everyone knows it, turkey meatloaf.
Mm-hmm.
And which is delicious. I love a meatloaf. It's like it's good honest food, you know.
Yeah, do you put ketchup on it like most
people
do?
Goddamn right. You bake it on and then you add some more later.
Okay.
Meatloaf is insane though, because it's just someone just, like, really liked burgers.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, just
make a loaf out of this shit.
You know that bread tin over there?
Yeah.
Just make me a giant patty.
I always thought meatloaf was, like, the absolute worst named food. Like, it's good, but
no,
meatloaf,
it's honest.
Meatloaf
it's the
is
most
not
honest.
A, not
pretty
named
honest.
Food.
Hot dog is the least honest.
It's meat, and it's in a loaf. I mean, you
yeah.
know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It is. I understand on the surface. I just did an Anderson thing. Yeah.
Meatloaf.
This is driving Anderson nuts right now while he's listening to this meatloaf conversation.
I'll make it worse.
Hey, so do you ever go to really high-end restaurants and order the meatloaf?
Constantly.
And
that's almost all I do.
Is it on the same level of...
I've never had fancy meatloaf. I don't think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you know, like, Wolfgang Puck makes it and stuff.
Sure. I mean, I believe it. I'm as much as I like meatloaf, I think that's like a home comfort food thing. I don't think I would ever.
Yeah.
If
You're not going to go to a restaurant and order a bologna sandwich
and
or Captain Crunch.
If it's a restaurant where I'm going to be paying $40 for an entree, I'm not going to spend that $40 on a, like, oh, we have a wild boar meatloaf.
That's
like,
right.
No.
That's right.
I'll take the wild boar, like, in strips.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I've seen people order hamburgers at Morton's, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Unless they're famous for their burger.
They're not.
Yeah.
It's just so if when somebody brings their kids, steak. They can order a $25 hamburger instead of a $79 piece of meat.
Maybe I'm getting the burger for the $80 steak. Jesus Christ.
You want to know, I'm trying to think of what the best meal that you could treat yourself to for a special event.
Hot dog.
Probably a hot dog.
A hot dog with no bun.
A plain Costco hot dog. Throw the bun away.
It's a hot dog when you make a hot dog and then you open the fridge and you're out of buns. And so you have to put on that last piece of wheat bread.
White
that you
bread.
Have, and
oh,
it,
wheat and bread's the
and
worst.
It cracks in half when you try to bend it.
Wheat bread is the fucking worst.
And then you just sit there standing in the kitchen eating a hot dog in a broken piece of bread over that boiled hot dog water.
Covered in tears.
Yeah. That's if you boil your hot dog. That's what I did
growing
up. Wearing
an adult diaper.
How do you make your hot dogs, Zach? Do you make hot dogs?
No hot dogs in my life.
Oh, how come?
They're gross.
What?
All
right. Turn them off.
Hebrew
they're
National.
They're not gross, but they're very unappealing.
Hebrew National
it's just
are
like
the best hot dogs.
Hebrew National.
I got to say, I was never a huge hot dog guy until I went and got a Chicago dog, and I was like, oh, my God. A grilled hot dog.
But those are good because, like, it's surrounded by good things.
Yeah, but the hot dog mixes perfectly with it. When I go
you
to the
that,
hot... Even though I'm trying
snap.
To not eat meat.
You get that snap?
Yes.
Mm.
When I go to the hot dog train and I get, like, one of their spicy dogs with a grilled sauerkraut, it's just fucking... It's one of those mix...
Hot dog train sounds like ham salad and Cleveland Steamer.
You ever go there? You ever go to the train?
Nope. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's on Sunset, right?
It's great. There's one on Ventura, too. That's the one I go to.
Hot dogs aren't exclusively ballpark food.
No.
I'm not.
False. Absolute false. Just when I was starting to like you, Zach.
Ooh.
Yep.
You've turned it around.
We've
do you guys have hot dogs at the sandwich shop?
No.
Hot dog is a sandwich.
It is a sandwich, yeah.
I can't argue. Hot dog is a sandwich.
So what the hell?
I never cared for sandwiches all that much because it seems like it's just the stuff you would eat at a good meal.
Sandwiches are like the king.
Yeah,
No. Tara would say the same thing, but I always thought... Like, if I'm going to have a well-rounded meal, vegetables, meat, bread, I like them all to be separated. Like, I don't need to jam everything into one.
So when you order a sandwich, do you, like, pull it apart? Just
no,
to feel,
no,
like, a bit
no.
fancier?
Because normally when I order a sandwich, I'm in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Does Anderson like this?
Like, I'm not going to go to a restaurant and sit down and order a sandwich and enjoy it. And I've probably done that 700 times, so that was a lie. Jesus Christ.
Sandwiches are like are a staple.
Favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich?
Yeah.
Bon mi.
French dip.
Hands down.
Oh, shit, that was mine to you. Club. Italian. Mm. Fuck.
Italian fuck club.
Yeah.
That also
Italian fuck club.
Hey,
you don't talk about it.
Bring
hey.
Me the hot dog a train.
Well, the one that rule about Italian a fucker club.
I
you don't have
you
to talk about Italian a fucker club.
I give you the pops a hat, if you know what I mean.
You should name this episode Italian fuck club, just so Anderson sees it.
And he's going to have to listen all the way this far to find out that we're talking about sandwiches. Okay, I will. No problem. Happy to do it. If you're going to drink, hold your mic up to it.
I know, I forgot to do that.
I'll do it.
Let
Is this
people
my water?
Know. Yeah, that's yours.
Here we go.
Let people know that we're refreshing our palates.
Let's see if people can tell what water I'm drinking by the sound of it.
Okay. My eyes are closed. That might be the grossest noise we've ever made on the show. Jesus Christ. Oh, you know what I did that was embarrassing that
what'd you did? What'd you do?
I was next door trying to flirt with both the girl behind the counter.
Oh, hell yeah.
And the girl in the restaurant
you
at the same time.
You were double dipping, bro.
I know them. They both work here. They both work downstairs.
Double dippy.
But I was flirting with the girl behind the counter, and she made me a coffee.
On that threesome grind, son.
And then I was over talking to the other girl while my coffee was being prepared, and then she
like
handed
it.
Me my coffee, and I turned around to talk to girl number two, and I took a big swig of it, and it was boiling fucking coffee. And I spit it right on the ground without even flinching. I opened my mouth and just let it pour out on the ground of that cafe next door. And it did the old pizza burn all the way around my mouth. Tongue, roof, everything. Gums. Ugh. It was good times. Good times. All the rest of the food tasted like barbecue after that. All day.
That's not how that works.
Oh, I thought it did. Is that my imagination?
Did you get any numbers or what? Did you pull?
No, I know them.
Did you pull, bro? Did you pull?
I don't know what that means.
I think that's a phrase, right? Zach, you're a man about town.
Did I pull?
Not a phrase I'm aware
of. Do you have
of.
A significant other at the sandwich shop?
Not at the sandwich shop.
But you do have a significant other.
I do.
What did, I'm going to guess a she?
Yes.
What did she think?
Isn't that weird how we don't know anymore?
What?
That's the oldest thing I've ever heard you say.
You no, can't I mean, tell these kids. You don't know if they're gay or they're straight.
Yeah, transsexual, if they're quad sexual. That's a new one I just made
no,
up.
It's just polite to not assume, you know?
I want people to refer to me as man, woman, cat, dog.
Why would you want that?
I'm not going to answer until you refer to me as man, woman, cat, dog.
So your missus, how did you tell her, hey, I'm going to drive to L.A. to go to a podcast and I also might help out with a movie?
I don't think she knows I'm here. She doesn't. Well, she doesn't
what?
Know I'm at the. She knows I'm in L.A., but not on the show.
Okay. All right. That was about to be a very exciting story. I was really into that for a couple seconds.
I just told her, man. I don't know. Cool. I don't know how it
Do
went.
You guys live together? How old are you? I don't know how old you are.
I'm 22.
So
she lives like an hour and a half away because she's finishing up school at a different school.
Long distance. Are you finishing school? Have you finished school?
I have not. I got a semester left after this.
Are you going to follow through with it?
With the semester?
Yeah.
I think I might be able to make it.
Are you going to Sandwich University?
Yeah, but one semester left.
I'd be acing that.
At Blackadder Academy. What are you majoring in?
Okay, so I always just say film. But then I have to explain it, and I try to say film for, like, brevity's sake. But here we go.
Okay.
They call it digital media production with an emphasis in digital cinema.
Sounds like you want Tyler's job.
Yeah.
No.
And a music minor.
I mean, social media, you weirdo. So it's just...
Hi, I'm a weirdo.
It's not a very good school for what I'm trying to do.
Okay, I was going to say I don't think Missouri is the hotbed of...
It's a veterinary school, but he wants to major in film.
They don't even teach me what a best boy is.
Yeah, exactly.
Motherfuckers.
That might have been an elective.
Yeah, probably.
So it's just digital filmmaking, right?
I don't really... Honestly, like, I'm almost done with it, and I still don't really know, like, what exactly their
goal
is.
What school? Do you want to give them a shout-out?
I don't care. University of Central Missouri.
UCM.
Mules. That's our mascot.
The Mules?
The Mules, yeah.
I like that. That's good.
You should see the logo.
You know
it's kind of disgusting.
You know what I like about it?
What do you like about it?
No expectations.
That's true.
There you go.
I don't know if they're good or bad.
Yeah.
Zero, and I don't have any negative
feelings.
If
the Mules are playing the Hawks.
You're Hawks all day long.
If you
Hawks
win,
are gonna kick
it's
your
like,
ass.
Yeah, what are the odds?
The Mules, and also Mules have the thing where they can't reproduce, so you kind of like feel like,
they can't?
Oh, buddy. No,
yeah,
they're
it's
sterile.
Like a donkey and a horse.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, horse and a donkey makes a mule. Mules are there.
Okay. I didn't know there was a difference between a mule and a donkey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Donkeys have those big like tall rabbit ears, and mules are more like a horse, kind of like turned.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know more about mules than I do.
When my mom went to high school in the 70s.
I saw miniature mules.
What?
Like, were they living or were you
I,
like
no,
at
I
a,
saw, I,
like at a, like a fake train set
believe
up
it or not, I was aimlessly driving around like way, way, way deep in that part of the valley where they make all the porns. It starts with a C. I can't remember. That doesn't
Cum
matter.
Valley.
Cum Valley. Yes. I was in Cum Valley.
Nailed it.
Near Boner Mountain. No, but I stumbled upon a Shetland pony farm.
I'll tell you, someone's going to be mounting my boner
and
later.
In one of the giant pens, they had like miniature mules or donkeys. I guess they were donkeys probably, but they were the same size as the Shetland ponies.
Mini donks.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were. Mini donks.
Is that your story?
It's fascinating, right?
When my mom was in high school, they had a yearly event. I guess it was
Christmas?
A fundraiser. I don't know. Where they would play basketball in the gym riding donkeys. Please guess where my mom grew up.
Minnesota.
Nope.
Southern
Missouri. California. Southern California.
No way.
Arcadia, which is basically... For people who don't know, it's, I don't know, 25 miles outside of L.A.
How do they dribble? Did the donkeys dribble?
No, the donkeys didn't dribble. Now I know what it's like to be Anderson with people like
that. That's got to drive the donkeys crazy, having that loud noise next to them. What the fuck is that?
Yeah. Can you imagine if I proposed at a school these days, like, we're going to have a fundraiser. Everyone's going to ride donkeys and play basketball.
And can you imagine how funny it would be for the first 5 minutes and then how painfully slow it would be for the next three quarters?
It's insane. The only horse-related school story I even have, which I can't even believe I have one, is my freshman year at my high school. They had a carnival day, which it's we're not 8 years old, but there was a carnival, including there was a pony ride where it goes in the circle.
Is this the water slide carnival?
This is the water slide school. This is but not that event. But yeah, there was just one of those sad ponies that's just on a chain and he walks in a circle.
Yeah.
The weirdest girl at school, her name was Sarah, super weird. She was the girl that would snack on raw spaghetti noodles. You just be quietly working on your test. You just hear.
Oh, God, that's worse than fucking sunflower seeds in the car.
Which.
That made me a little bit sad.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
What if she was superhuman and she could pour boiling water in her mouth and put the spaghetti?
She just cut
and
to
then
the chase.
Strains it out of her teeth cut and then the spits chase. It on a plate and throws some sauce on it.
So she was chewing her
delicious
chewing her spaghetti noodles and then she rode the horse, the little pony.
Mm-hmm.
It broke free.
Oh my God!
And Sarah, the strangest, littlest weirdo at the school, was just the horse just taking off around our little campus, running around with her down the halls, being like, "Hey, I can't stop
inside.
It. I can't stop it." No,
that's great.
We didn't have inside. It was all our school was all outdoors.
That's great.
I mean, there was classrooms.
I've never even heard of that happening.
Yeah, she was just so the Wrangler had to eventually after about 15 minutes.
There's a Wrangler on movie sets too.
Yes, there is Wranglers. Jeans.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta pee.
You gotta pee. Should we put this to bed? Should go much longer, right?
Let me pee. Go you want to pause, or you guys want to keep chatting?
We'll pause.
Okay.
Right. But people at home aren't gonna know that we paused. It's just gonna magically.
Now they know.
How was that pee, Mike?
Satisfying. It was, it's always satisfying.
Rated out of
anything
10.
Out.
How was that pee out of 10?
1 out of 10.
It was a 1 out of 10.
That was not very
satisfying. 6.5, 7.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The most satisfying is when you're about to die and you get to pee.
What? How would you
know?
I
love when that happens.
How would you know?
When you're doubled over and you're in the car.
You don't literally, you don't mean the last pee before you die.
No. No, it's not like a sweet.
Do you think that's
a
good
sweet,
one or do you think that's a sad one?
I think you are total disinterest in that pee.
Are people aware that it's going to be their last pee?
From what I hear, people are not aware that they're going to be.
Depending on your death scenario.
Yeah.
That's why I pee every pee it's my last.
Yeah, me too.
I always take a moment.
Yep. I always try to do it on someone, which is how I'm going to do my last.
Well, I've realized that you just, everyone pees and then washes their hands.
Yeah.
You just pee on your hands.
Yeah, why not?
Cut out the middleman.
Why not? And then come out and wipe it on a stranger's back in line at the sandwich shop. Black Adder.
Does Anderson like this?
Ask for it by name.
Do you think death row convicts get to choose their last pee after their last meal?
Standing or sitting?
Hmm.
Yeah. Sitting, of course. Well, depends what kind of toilet.
If you're about to be, I was going to say put down. That's definitely not the term that they use, but if you're about to be executed,
we're going to put down a convict.
What if you've got to go? Do they say, hold on.
Can you sneak an extra 5 minutes of life?
Yeah, if you're like, I really got to,
I got to go to the bathroom.
Nature's calling, buddy.
Yep.
Don't let me leave the world.
Wouldn't that be cruel to, if you, imagine your last experience on Earth is having to shit so bad.
Yeah.
But also someone is sticking poison in your arm. That seems cruel and unusual, right?
You want to hear what one of my greatest disappointments in life was? I don't know why I prefaced it without just launching into it. We've all heard the last meal stories that aren't
in the Bible.
From when I was a child, yeah, that was the last supper. That wasn't the last meal. I still had breakfast the next day. I think, for some reason, embedded deep inside my brain is this idea that you're on death row and you get a last meal and you get whatever you want, and somehow it's written into law. That if you say, I want to have the rarest sushi from this little village in Japan, somehow you get it. And part of me still wants to believe that, but I listened to a podcast when they talked about it, and most of the time they don't get what they want. most of the time they get a close like representation.
Oh my God.
And
well,
yeah, so disappointing. Yeah, you don't get Jiro Dreams of Sushi flown in from
I know,
Tokyo.
But you know how when you're a kid you hear for some reason
I never imagined that.
I've always been led to believe like the guy goes, I want steak and lobster, and they come in and they put a bib on them and there's these giant lobster tails.
I'm with you on that. I was under the impression that you get what you asked for. I was not under the impression though that you get like this sandwich at Blackadder in Missouri. it's to die for. Do not get me the tempeh Reuben.
Yeah.
What if you just kept asking for food? They can't kill you.
I'm not done. If you're a giant fat guy and you could just
you
keep
just ask
eating.
For you. Here's the loophole, idiots. You just ask for a buffet.
Yep, I want a buffet, and then you stay alive another 5 years, and they keep on bringing it.
But you have to keep eating. Eventually,
yeah.
Yeah, I think you'd probably just die.
Yeah, they just have Soup Plantation cater your last meal. Never stops. You're like, if I have another piece of
Soup Plantation is a weird ass name, right?
It's very racist.
I don't know.
Soup
racist.
Plantation?
Yeah, do you guys have those?
I don't know what
you
that
guys
is.
Just have plantations.
I can.
It's a chain restaurant
just plantations.
Out here. First of all, you walk up and they have actors pretending to be slaves, like doing hard physical labor in the lobby.
That's probably the weirdest part about it.
Yeah, and then the white guy comes out and goes, y'all want some salad?
How long would that place actually stay in business?
It depends on what part of the country it's
in. True.
It'll probably thrive in some parts, apparently.
Now, Soup Plantation, it's a weird, like,
it's a buffet, but it's a high-end buffet.
It's not really high-end.
No such thing.
It's nicer than a buffet.
Also, though, everyone goes, when you mention Soup Plantation, they go, oh my God, the soft serve ice cream. Which
is not
what you want to hear when you say, like,
not.
Hey, is that a good buffet?
You're absolutely correct. Everyone just goes for the ice cream.
The soft serve is incredible.
And everybody has the same experience the first time you go as a child, at least for the Carano family, which was load up on way too many muffins and you can't eat anything else. And their muffins are fucking great. And that pizza bread is good.
It's a little awkward sitting next to all the death row convicts, though. That's the one part I don't like about it.
I wanted to go to Soup Plantation, and Dr. Drew threw like a little conniption fit. He's like, I'm never going there.
Why?
He goes, it's the most unsafe place to eat.
Oh, that's true.
He said, because all the germs stuff. But I don't totally.
I think hometown buffet is probably worse.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. I, you know what?
Nothing makes me sadder than those hometown buffet commercials where Jeff Foxworthy pops up and goes, and now you can get a to-go box for $4 to get some extra good hometown buffet on the go.
What's
maybe that's Golden Corral.
What's the place that's known for the giant portions? It's like Clam Digger, Gold Digger, Claim Jumper.
I don't think they're known for giant portions.
Yeah.
What about Black Angus?
Yeah, I used to love.
Is that still around?
I don't know, but I loved it when I was a kid.
The cowboy, it was a sweet logo.
Over the fire, great logo,
and
great
when,
logo.
And when their G would go out, it was always a good joke. When the light up letters on the building.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was always a good joke.
Black anus.
I loved Black Angus when I was a kid, and when I was an adult, I was led to believe it wasn't that good.
Yeah. Claim Jumper, though, again, Claim Jumper, people are like, you got to get the cake.
Yeah.
Or they have like a big brownie or something, right?
That sounds familiar.
You're supposed to be a steak place, and
I always think it's Clam Jumper when I drive by
clam?
It.
Clam?
Yeah.
I'll tell you about Clam Jumper.
That's right.
Clam Jumper, Black Anus. I got a couple stories for you, buddy.
We should open a restaurant. Clam Jumper, Black Anus.
Yeah, we should.
Steaks and giant portions.
And the soft serve. You got to have the soft serve.
Somebody told me some. Was it you that told me that you get
30% off
gumbo
sandwiches?
And gas stations in New Orleans?
I have never said that.
Somebody on the set today told me when they were in New Orleans, like every gas station sells gumbo and shrimp.
See, on one hand, I think that's gross, and on the other hand, I want to live somewhere where there's gumbo that enough people actually eat it that all the gas stations sell.
Yeah,
it.
Slim
but
Jim
as far
gumbo.
As, yeah. Hey, I gotta say something about Slim Jim. This is coming from a guy who's trying not to eat meat anymore. Slim Jims are friggin' delish.
It's called Slum Jumbo.
Mike, I could not disagree
Jims
with
are
you more.
So good.
How are we back on Slim Jims?
Slim Jims. What's good about a Slim Jim?
You snap
the spiciness.
Macho Man
the
Randy Savage for one.
Yeah, right there.
Okay.
Break into a Slim Jim.
I think it's snap into a Slim Jim.
Oh.
What? Well, the 80s had that fascination with people, or the 90s, I don't know, late 80s, early 90s. The fascination of people bursting through, like, walls to, like, sell you
it
things.
It started in the 70s with Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it needs to come back.
It's
I
like,
love
I'm,
that.
Mom, I'm thirsty. Well, honey, we'll be out of the roller skating rink in, like, 10 minutes. All of a sudden, hey, Kool-Aid! He knocks all the bricks down onto the roller skating rink, and somehow he's on skates.
Yeah, why don't they bring... They should bring the Kool-Aid man back.
But they should use, like a computer graphics right now to make it really hostile.
No, I like the old ones where it's actually a man
styrofoam.
Wearing like
a
mascot costume. Weird.
Mascot costume.
So weird. It's awesome. Before we get too off track, Zach has a story about the set and you.
Okay.
That he tried to tell me while you're peeing, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
We've learned the hard way.
Yeah.
Like we just, like maybe this episode is the first one we've done without talking before and burning... We've done this show for a long time, and many times we had in-depth discussions about interesting things for 30 minutes leading up to the show, and then got on the show, and Anderson summed it all up with, I got nothing. And we all just kind of went, eh.
It's usually you.
Can't rehash.
You usually go, I'm going to save this for the show, and then you just tell us.
Yeah. It's my fault.
So
I agree with that, though.
We said earlier, I've listened to the show before, so... I get like a little bit.
Oh wait,
sense.
That's it. You've only listened to it before.
No.
He's downplaying
it. Yeah, there you go. Just like
he's gonna wear our skin tonight.
Oh, I just got super bummed out. I thought he was like one of these like guys that like I thought I should listen to one episode on the drive out just to get a feel.
No, yeah. I've listened to it.
Yeah, the
anyway.
Guy that's volunteering his time to make a movie in California from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Just was only listened once.
That's right. I listened to that Richard Simmons podcast. Now I'm volunteering. Which, by the way, there's a lot of backlash against that
podcast
right now.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
I didn't even know he was still alive.
It's a podcast called Missing Richard Simmons, where one of his friends decided to base an entire podcast around trying to figure out what's wrong with Richard Simmons' mental health. And it was fascinating, riveting, like serial riveting.
This is like workout.
About four
Richard
episodes.
Simmons,
yeah. Four episodes in, I went, this is the most exploitative thing I've ever heard. This guy is taking advantage of a guy. Living his life and trying to conjure up this that he's suicidal, like that he's mm-hmm. a hermit now mm-hmm. and he just dropped off the face of the planet, and this guy's trying to drudge up all this shit for ratings because he came out of the box with a lot of advertisements on the podcast, and it was number one on iTunes for many, many weeks in all of the categories. It was number one, and about five episodes in, I just went, fuck this guy. Richard Simmons decided he doesn't want to be a public guy anymore, and he wants to be a hermit, and that's his prerogative. And this guy is like, no, but why? I want to talk to you. And he's getting huge, huge podcast ratings.
It's going to be awkward when my Finding Carano podcast
I'll be a part of that.
Comes out.
That'll be a scam. Cha-ching.
Yes, that just sounds it. That
all
sounds,
right, so what's the story?
I was like, okay, so I feel like I have,
I
from
was
listening
like,
to the show.
Good gracious, as bodacious, sorry.
Listening to this show, I think I get like a little bit of a snapshot into you guys' kind of personalities, you know? Some sort of kindred spirit stuff.
Raw
anyway,
and unfiltered.
I was on set yesterday and just trying not to ruin it, whatever, hanging back. And then like Mike Carano just floats in, and I had like there was no like... I thought like you would come in and there would be like a big hurrah, like everyone it would be like a big Kramer. Like,
oh no, I feel like I let you down.
You just kind of like floated in, and I was like, okay, yep, this is perfect. This is exactly how I imagined it. He came in, just floated in, and he was, you know, being like charmingly flirtatious with all the like the young girls in there. All
right, so satisfying so far.
Yeah, you know, and it's just. Put off all these like bells in my head. It's like this is Mike Carano. Before I even like heard your voice or had someone be like, hey, it's Mike Carano over there. Just this enigma just floated in.
I love
like
that
Mike
I float
Carano.
In to a scene.
You do kind of float in, and you almost you don't really make noise with your feet.
Nope.
You're kind of just
nope.
there.
I have a team that suspends me on wires.
So basically you're saying you got the Carano that you wanted.
I got the Carano that the show promised.
Okay. So but he didn't do anything embarrassing.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I told you, man. It was a boring story.
No, it's not boring. The way you sold it to me, though, was you're like, I didn't want to fuck up, but then Mike showed up, and I was like, oh, Mike fucked up. What did Mike do?
Did I was Mike thinking, shut up and
I'm sure you fucked up something yesterday.
Of course.
There's no way you didn't.
No, I said some weird stuff. I had a conversation with a couple of girls who are a little overweight, and I used the word fat like 40 times in the conversation.
That's not good. Did you shake anyone's wrong hand?
I brought that up. Oh, yeah, I brought that story up.
Do you know how many people I've told that to who have been very upset with you for thinking that that's a thing?
Apparently nobody agrees with me.
It's not a question of if people agree with you.
I did the douchiest move with the guy.
It's a question that you're wrong.
I did the douchiest move I've done in some time, and I knew better, and I still did it anyway. But I was mentioning the Paul McCartney story, and then some guy goes, one of the guys that works on the crew wanted to tell me a story that he was hanging out with a friend in a recording studio, and he built it way, way up. And I'm not big on celebrities. I don't care about celebrities. And there he was, Stevie Wonder. And I went, yeah, I've met Stevie Wonder like 5 times. I tried to introduce my ex-girlfriend to him, and I just completely topped the story like a douchebag. Yes, I knew better, too.
His one shining story.
I knew better, too. And I just decided, all right. Yeah, every time I see Stevie Wonder, which is like once a year, which is true
every
for the past 30 years.
He doesn't see me.
I think he does see you.
That's a lazy joke.
I think it's a scam.
It would be a good scam.
It's the oldest scam in the book.
That's along with the Paul McCartney, isn't Paul McCartney, there's a internet conspiracy that Stevie Wonder isn't blind.
There's a conspiracy about everything,
I like
guess,
those
apparently.
Ones. I like those conspiracies.
There's
a
conspiracy that we are all actually scientists.
You mean Anderson?
Yeah.
That's not a conspiracy.
You ever watch YouTube videos with really, really smart people?
Nope.
There's a YouTube series called Engineering Explained, and it's fascinating. And the guy will break down things, and I sit there watching this shit that goes on for 25 minutes, fascinated, not having any goddamn idea what he's talking about. It's amazing. He's talking about newtons, and if you divide the newtons per square inch per downforce, which we've rounded up, times pi, divided by this, you can get the actual speed of the vehicle is traveling at 160 miles per hour with the horsepower minus this,
what about
minus the drag coefficient, and that 40 newtons, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And we have determined that, yes, a Bugatti Chiron can spin the wheels at 160 miles an hour, but it's this giant whiteboard filled with insane amounts of mathematical equations, and he's breaking down.
I feel dumb enough in my normal life.
I know.
This is like me, how you are with the sports. This is me with that. I can't watch that. I feel dumb enough in day-to-day to then...
Yeah.
To then watch that and feel actually dumb.
But it's kind of fascinating to see how some people's brains work.
Speaking of people's brains work and being dumb, if any of you are flat earthers, please get in contact with the show.
How come you posted that?
It's been cropping up in the NBA.
Oh, because of Shaq?
There's a bunch of people in the NBA, including Shaq, that think the earth is flat, and I don't know what to do about that. I don't know what to do with this information.
We've been presented with many quandaries in the past 4 or 5 months where you're just like, I don't know how to accept this and I don't know how to deal with this.
I mean, I hope that it's a great, like, the NBA Illuminati all got together and they're like, let's tell everyone we believe the Earth is flat.
Ratings are going to go skyrocket.
And, I mean, I thought Shaq was a relatively smart man, but flat Earth.
Yeah.
Flat Earth.
I know.
Oh, Zach, I really wish you were a flat earther so we could get into it right now.
I hate to disappoint.
I hate to let you down and let you know that I believe the earth is a sphere.
I can try to like make up some statistics.
No, it's not.
I've been on a plane and I've seen the curvature.
Yeah, man, that was just like that valley, bro.
It's like the moon landing.
Yeah.
You can see the seams in the background.
Dude, Kubrick just directs every flight landing.
Yep.
He's still alive. He's still alive. That's why you haven't seen him.
110 years old, just directing.
The head FAA flight director. All right. Well, this quick, our tight 30 became like an hour and a half.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Zach, thank you for coming all the way over here.
Of course.
Do you have a car or did
you
Uber or something?
Thanks for coming out just for the show. Yeah. And helping out with the movie as well.
That was a byproduct of being on the show.
Yeah.
And I hope this wasn't terribly painful for you. And what time is it right now, Tyler?
It's like 10:15.
Okay. If you want to stay and watch the show downstairs,
you're
welcome
to. Battery's going to die.
All right.
Yeah, go watch the shows. Maybe you can see some really uncomfortable comedy like that woman who was doing stand-up, although she was doing sit-down because she's in a wheelchair. When we walked in, did you hear her joke?
I didn't even see that.
As we walked in?
No.
She was like, he didn't even make me come, but you know what I just realized? More guys have raped me than have made me come. And the room...
That's a joke?
...was just silent. And she went, we're going there, folks.
We're going to a place that's...
Yeah. Yeah, it was extremely uncomfortable. Oh, yeah, and then she said, "And P's been in this V&A. I felt like Anderson, just hating the world. The world's passing me by. I don't understand anything.
Yeah.
Makes sometimes me angry.
That little room, you never know. It can be hit or miss. It can be so fucking fantastic. It can be Puddle's Pity Party, or it can be...
Or it can be
a wheelchair rape victim.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, but it sounds so worse. That you gave it the meatloaf treatment. You just said what it was.
That's right.
It's a little callback down the show.
That is...
Yeah. She needs to work on her material.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Keep moving. Right?
That's a terrible way to end.
Keep it rolling? Was that more appropriate for her?
No, I mean, this whole topic.
Oh, yeah.
We just brought it down.
Yeah, we got to, you know, got to leave the listeners...
wanting more.
Wanting less.
You know what? We should have done that.
What? Kisses?
No.
Oh, wanting less?
Yeah, we should have... I don't know what we should have done.
Okay.
I was just going to make a fart noise. I'm glad I didn't. That was a Tyler. Mine would be more like...
Sorry, Anderson.
I'm cutting that out.